That's the international premiere of the digital restored version in 4K of Giorgio Romero's The Night of the Living Dead. So thank you for being for us tonight for this screening. I can't read my notes because I'm looking in these things. Okay. But the most important thing is The Night of the Living Dead was restored. And was restored under the aegis of the Museum of Modern Art, New York, and the Film Foundation, with funding provided from the George Lucas Family Foundation and the Celeste Bartos Preservation Fund. So please welcome tonight, now, Rajendra Roy, Celeste Bartos, film curator at the MoMA, and Katie Trainer, also from the film department of MoMA, who are responsible for it.
So, greetings from America, where the zombies have taken over. But we're still fighting left in us, and so many people know how to fight zombies. So. We have lessons to learn from you. We're thrilled to be here again. I want to thank Bellinale Classics, our partners at the Deutsche Kinemathek, for hosting this international premiere. Thanks to the Film Foundation, the George Lucas Foundation, and our own Celeste Bartos Fund for this. A big part of MoMA's mission is film restoration, and we're just thrilled when we can provide a spotlight. These are very bright, so spotlight directly on us right now, but the most important thing is what you're about to see on screen. But before we get there, this is a historic moment. You're about to see something that no one on this side of the Atlantic has seen, so I bet there's a couple of zombies in the audience. I'm wondering if, for all our friends back in New York, you could just give me your best zombie impression, and we'll send it back. Ready? One, two, three, zombie me! All right, that was pretty slow, but zombies are slow, so that's good. This is Katie Trainer. She's our collections manager. She makes sure that all the 30,000 titles in our film collection are maintained, preserved, and screened for you. So, Katie.
It's quite an honor to be here. Thank you for having us. I'm so excited to show this here. This has been in the making for almost 3 years. We've been massaging the Image 10 group, and specifically, I guess you're just going to meet in a few seconds, Gary Striner, to get them to donate the elements to MoMA so we could then embark on a proper preservation. So, and they gladly did that about a year and a half ago, and since then we've been working together very closely with George Romero. He wishes he could be here this evening. It was quite an honor to work with him during Picture and Sound. The sound was done at Audio Mechanics in Burbank, California, and the picture with Cineric in New York. So we worked very closely with Gary's group and George on all aspects. And so I'd just love to bring up Gary first to talk a little bit more about the restoration.
Now what? Wow. It's wonderful. Thank you, Berlin, for holding this for us. And it's such a transition for me. I was a 20-year-old boy when this film was made. And never had any sort of aspirations that it would come to this, and to the wonderment of MoMA and so on, to bring it here to Germany, to Berlin. Oh, I was the actual sound recordist on the movie. One of the original 10 partners that put in $600 a piece. Here, you know, and we were so tiny when this all started. But it's a testament to all you people. To me, I flew here specifically to be here with you guys for this screening, because that's what it's all about. The
Woo!
Fans across the world are just amazing. Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
and it's a well-known movie, and you personally spent $600, but unfortunately it went into public domain. Why that?
Well, it went into public domain because the original title was not Night of the Living Dead. And when we went to New York to parade this film around to various distributors, it was called Night of Anubis. And finally we landed on a distributor who just said, what is Anubis?
And we had to change this title.
So it was determined that Night of the Living Dead would be the title. Well, when that happened, there was a technical error. Back in those days, currently now in America, at least, and I think it's worldwide, intellectual properties say if you made it, you have a copyright on it. But back then, it was a technicality that you had to have the copyright bug on the print. And that didn't happen, and the copyright office put us into public domain. And years and years and years of battling, we weren't able to overturn that. But now, because this is all new work, so it can be copywritten. So from now on into the future, nobody can touch it.
Can you tell us a bit about the challenges in the restoration? Were there challenges?
There were no challenges.
We should mention some of those Easter eggs, just because it's kind of a funny story.
You.
Well, when we were doing the picture with George and the sound, we came across different moments where he was, I've always wanted to change this, I've always wanted to do this, and we had to talk him off the ledge a little bit a couple times, because we started calling them Easter eggs. They're little things in the movie, especially for all the fans that know this movie so well, that if he took them out, they would notice and they would get very angry. So it was anything from a moth flying into the flame, into the light, or there's like a script that you see on the floor, things written on something that shouldn't be there.
We had all the boards that were boarded, because we'd have to do take after take, so everywhere where the doors and windows were boarded up, we had written notes on the back of them where they went back up the next time. And you'll look now, you might never have seen it before, but you'll see in the front door when they're unboarding it and boarding it back up, it'll be upper right-hand corner.
Yeah, little things like that.
Those are the Easter eggs.
Yes.
But we really did feel, and can I ask a question? How many people here have not seen Night of the Living Dead?
Oh my God.
Wow!
More than
holy moly!
Then I won't talk about the sound Easter eggs. Like, our little mantra was about bullets and crickets.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So I won't say anything.
Well, we shot this thing. All the sound that you hear on this film is location sound. There was no post-dubbing. We didn't have money for that. This was a true independent film. As I said, 10 of us, which is why the company is called Image 10, put up $600, and that's where we got the money to buy the film. We already, because we were a commercial production company, we already had the equipment, so that's all we needed. So we're shooting in the summer in a very rural area, and at night the crickets would come out, and the day they wouldn't be out. So then we had the impossible problem of putting crickets in where they weren't in before. And I'm sure Katie was quite amused when we were saying, well, should they be that loud now? Or can we bring them back? Do we have to bring them back in? And we meticulously did it all.
Calling it cricket consistency. And some gunshots that haven't been there
well,
before.
Gunshots.
That was the moment George was like, this is why I wanted this film restored. There's this one gunshot.
Well, the thing of it is none of you can conceive, and I don't have the time to go into the detail to explain it to you, the absolute, utter, barbaric way that George Romero edited this film. it was literally edited on rewinds, and you had a picture head and a sound head. So he never saw this film at absolute accurate 24 frames a second. through the whole making of it. He got very good at knowing how to wind it. And, you know, there were missing things, but he just couldn't see it on the word print. He couldn't literally see where the guns were going off. So when we did the restoration and the sound work, there are gunshots everywhere now. Gunshots galore.
So now you will enjoy a masterpiece made with just $600. Enjoy it.
Thank you very much for coming.